This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are in the midst of Hispanic Heritage Month now. It started September 15th, as it shares an anniversary with five other Hispanic and Latino countries, and goes through October 15th. In light of that, we're highlighting stories of people and places across Illinois, starting off with Marisol Gamboa. She's the chief of police at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston, having held the position since January of last year. Chief Gamboa, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
So I want to just begin, and I should invite listeners, if you want to join our conversation, if you have a question for Chief Gamboa, 800-222-9455 is the number to call. That's 800-222-9455. All right, so I just want to begin with some of your background and your life story. What inspired you to become a police officer?
So I've always wanted to do something to give back to the community. My parents are both from Mexico. They came to the United States, and, you know, the United States has been very helpful to them. And I wanted to just give back. You know, I'm first generation American. So law enforcement was ideal for me. I was a single mother. I had two young daughters. They were about 2 and 3 years old at the time. And I don't have anybody in my family that has ever been in law enforcement here in the United States. So it was a challenge trying to even get that door open or find out how I could get started, how I could start my career in law enforcement.
It's interesting you mentioned your family. I wonder, how did your family react to you going into law enforcement?
Well, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and she just raised all, you know, myself and my siblings. And she was your traditional Mexican mom. You know, she just stayed home and took care of the family. And my father was, he was the same traditional Mexican man. He just worked. That's all he did. He was the head of the household, and he worked. And so being a female and wanting to get into a career that was male dominated was challenging, and it was for them to accept. They were hesitant, and, you know, but they came to realize that, you know, this is just an opportunity for me and to start something different that has never been done in our family before. And so once they realized that, then my father became very supportive, and my mother, she helped out so much by taking care of my girls while I attended the police academy.
So you mentioned you're from Texas, and I think you started your law enforcement career in Texas. I wonder, how was it working in, I would imagine, you know, if Texas is like every other parts of America, a lot of the police force is white and male. How was that for you?
It was very challenging. So I started my law enforcement career by going to the police academy in Alvin, Texas, Alvin Community College Police Academy. I graduated December of 2001. And I landed my first full-time position as a patrol officer with the city of Freeport, November 2nd of 2002. And I was fortunate to work there. It is a very diverse city. They have more of a Hispanic population there. Mm-hmm. But it was very, very male dominated as far as the law enforcement officers were pretty much all males. There was one other female there, but she wasn't in patrol. She was an investigator. So she was administration. And I was the only female officer on patrol. And I rotated from days to nights every 3 months. And then we worked 12-hour shifts. So it was challenging. But I feel that once I got started and the officers there understood what benefits females bring to the field, you know, for example, if they happen to stop a female person that has committed a crime and they needed to search that female back then, you know, I was there and I could conduct those searches for them opposed to them having to do it themselves. So the other benefits to it is de-escalating situations. Sometimes, you know, women are able to de-escalate the situations a lot quicker. I don't know if it has to do because we have a softer tone. I'm not sure, but I have noticed that since I've been in the field that we are able to calm situations down and reduce the use of force. Now, so I started with some of my back background in Texas, and then I stayed in with the city of Freeport until April of 2013. I moved up through the ranks throughout the years. I moved from patrol officer to patrol sergeant to patrol lieutenant, and then in April of 2013, I moved to I switched departments, and I started working for the San Jacinto Community College Police Department in Pasadena, Texas. And okay. I stayed there until I moved over to Eastern Illinois University, January of 2022.
That's interesting. So we need to take a break in about a minute and a half here, but how is it different being a campus or a college police officer from what you were doing as a city police?
Oh, there's many differences. Yeah. So working in the city, you're more reactive. You're going from call to call, domestic calls. You're conducting traffic stops. You're taking reports. In a higher institution setting, what you're doing is you're being more proactive. You're more educating the community about drugs, alcohol, sexual assaults. You're more involved with the community, conducting community events. You bring new initiatives like therapy dog program, bicycle programs, UTV programs. As far as patrolling the campus, there's just so much. Like, there's some things that cities do that don't do that EIU does. For example, we unlock vehicles. We'll jumpstart your vehicle. We'll air up your tire. Those are some things that some cities won't do.
Yeah. Well, I guess one would imagine that if officers are just having to respond call after call after call, filling up, doing the sort of AAA type work maybe is just not their highest priority. All right, we're going to take
yes.
a break. Yeah, yeah. We're speaking with Chief Marisol Gamboa of the Eastern Illinois University Police Department. We're going to continue this conversation after a short break. If you want to join us today, the number is 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. This is the 21st show. Please stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. And for the rest of our program today, we're continuing our conversation with the chief of police at Eastern Illinois University, Marisol Gamboa. She was raised in Texas and got her start in law enforcement in Texas and has been at Eastern for, what, about a year and a half now, if I have that right? If you want to join our conversation today, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So, Chief Gamboa, how did you come to work at Eastern Illinois University, Texas to Central Illinois? That's a big move.
Oh, it is. That was a big move from Texas. So I was working for the San Jacinto Community College, and I received a phone call, a number that I did not recognize in my office. And I was like, oh, I just let it go to voicemail. And then so I listened to the voicemail, and it was a retired chief of police from Montana. His name was Frank Price. Saying he left a message saying that Eastern Illinois University was searching for the next chief of police and that I met the criteria of what they were looking for. At first I was like, okay, no, that's because I've never had anybody contact me and actually reach out to me to apply
like
for
a recruiting
job.
Call. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I let it sit there for a while, and maybe a week or two later, I, give them a call back, and I talked to Frank, and he explains to me that I met the criteria and that they really would like for me to interview. And I had to think about it because, I'm born and raised in Texas and my family's out there. And so after I talked it over with my husband, we decided, you know what, let's just go ahead and give it a try and see how far along in the process I get. Because I've never considered becoming a chief. I was very comfortable with being a lieutenant at the community college in Texas. So, and so I applied and I went through the entire process, and I kept moving up to the next interview session because there's about three or four different interview sessions. And then I received the final call from Vice President of Student Affairs, Dr. Ann Flaherty, offering me the position.
And it took me a little bit to, maybe a few hours or a day or two to respond. I had to talk it over with my husband. And then, of course, my kids are grown already, so let them know that that might be a possibility. So, yeah, and in the end, I accepted the position and moved over here January of 2022.
Mm-hmm. Living in Central Illinois is, I imagine, quite a bit different than East Texas. How has that adjustment been?
It's different. So we lived in the city of Pearland, Texas, which is about 100,000+ population. You have stores everywhere. I mean, it's just a very vibrant and moving city. And then we moved here to Charleston, Illinois, and you know, I believe the population is anywhere between 18,000 to 20,000, and so it's a big difference. It's a very small town, and I like it so far. I mean, you don't hear the all the vehicle traffic. I like how welcoming the community has been. They're very nice. Everybody's been very nice. I like to get involved with the community. So I attend meetings when I can. I like to go to the farmers markets. That's something that we didn't have much of an opportunity out in the area we were at in Texas.
Yeah. So let's, I'm curious also about, so you come to Eastern Illinois University, you had been in university law enforcement for a number of years, or college law enforcement for a number of years by that point. What are some of the biggest crime problems just in general on colleges and particularly at Eastern?
So the trend that I've noticed, so I'll start with Texas first. That's at the community college out there. The crime that was high over there was thefts on campus. And that was mainly due to students or even staff that would leave their belongings unattended. And that was a commuter college, so bicycles weren't really on campus that much. And then coming over to Eastern, I've noticed that the higher crime is theft as well. Same reason, leaving their belongings unattended, or leaving if they drive, if they have a vehicle on campus, leaving their valuables in plain view. Other thefts that occur is bicycle thefts, because a lot of the students that live on campus have bicycles if they don't have a vehicle. And so that's, so I would say it would be theft. That's the crime that's most occurring on our campus.
Interesting. So while we're sticking with the topic of policing, we did get an email from Karma, who was, I think, intrigued by your mentioning of de-escalation and wanted to know, is de-escalation something people can call to ask for help with, like airing a tire or starting a car? And she also wanted to know, what sort of training do law enforcement get on de-escalation or alternative dispute resolution?
So de-escalation is just calming a situation down. So say that we respond to a verbal dispute at one of the halls. De-escalation would be just calming the situation down, either both parties. And that way, once we calm them down, we're able to get a better idea of what's occurring there and how to provide a solution. And so as far as the airing of the tires and all that, that's just additional services that not a lot of other departments would offer, like cities or counties. Airing up your tire is more to cater to our students so that they can be successful in a learning environment. You know, if they have to get to from one place to the next, they'll have their vehicle ready to go, either airing up their tire, jump starting their vehicle, or unlocking their vehicle because they locked their keys inside their vehicle. So those are two different things. Type of training that law enforcement get here is there's an academy that's about 16 weeks long. And so you would have to successfully complete that and then take the state test. And then from there, you would be licensed. Now, throughout the academy, you do get, you are provided with some de-escalation training, either scenario-based or just learning the knowledge as you're reading it in a book. I find scenario-based a lot more helpful because you get to actually interact with actors that are, you know, setting up a scenario for you. They either have mental health issues or going through some type of crisis. And so you have to think through the process and try to calm that person down. I feel that even after they graduate from the police academy and they're at back at their home department, that they need to continue that learning. They need to continue getting more training, not just on de-escalation, but on new legislative updates or use of force or any of the tools that they carry on their belt. And I know there was some training offered here on human trafficking. Those are all great trainings to attend just to keep your knowledge up to date as you're progressing in your career.
I want to ask you, in that we have about 7 minutes remaining in our show, I should mention 800-222-9455 as we were talking with Chief Marisol Gamboa of the Eastern Illinois University Police Department. The significance, you are, I believe, the first woman and the first Latina police chief at Eastern, at least. Talk about the significance of that. Do you see yourself as a role model?
Yes, I do. I feel that, you know, it shows that if you feel that you can't do it, you can. You know, it helps open those doors up, or that dream of, say there's a young lady that wants to become a police officer, and she sees that there is a Latina in law enforcement, and she is the person that's actually running the department. And coming from my background, you know, anything's possible. Oh, we struggled. I struggled throughout my entire life. We grew up very poor. You know, my parents were from Mexico, like I stated earlier. So we grew up very poor. There was 10 of us living in a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom mobile home, single white, not a double white. So we're very compact, all of us living in there. And then, you know, being a mom at an early age, being a single mom, starting my career. I mean, it shows that regardless of where you're at in your life, you can still accomplish any career goal that you set your mind to. Not necessarily law enforcement, just anywhere, medical field, whatever they want to do. You shouldn't give in or allow any challenges that you have in your life stop you from moving up in your career or starting a career.
We know that. I was just saying, we know that especially among people who are Black or Latino, Latina, that there can be, depending on the experience they might have had growing up, some distrust of law enforcement. And I wonder how your background maybe, you know, helps you bridge those divides potentially.
Oh, yeah. You know, I feel like I can relate a lot to Latinos or even the other African American communities, Black communities. I feel like I can relate to them. You know, we lived in a barrio, so law enforcement coming through our neighborhoods out there wasn't like, oh, hey, you know, just come get them getting out of the vehicle and talking to us in a, you know, just to get to know who we are. You know, if they drove through our neighborhood, it's because something happened. You know, so there was distrust there. But, you know, the only way you can make a difference is by getting involved. And so to me, that was very important, is to get involved in order to start making that change. And I encourage anybody from different ethnicities, male, females, get involved. If you aspire to be a police officer, get started somewhere, get your foot in the door, get your career going, and start making that change and building that trust within our communities.
Another question from a listener wondered what you think of, and I'm just going to paraphrase, what's the biggest obstacle for women entering law enforcement?
The biggest obstacle for women entering law enforcement? Oh, I know when I first started, the biggest obstacle for me was being accepted by the male officers. That was the biggest obstacle for me because they have that distrust that maybe you can't hold your own. Because you're a female, you know, some people tend to, back then, could have thought that we were more fragile, I guess, but we're not. I mean, we're just as capable as anybody.
Is that still the case? Has it gotten better over your 20 years?
I would say in some departments that could be said. In others, I think, like, for example, San Jacinto Community College, I mean, they were very accepting. We had about 7-8 females on the force, a department of, with a dispatch center, a full dispatch center, about 50 employees. And we had about 7 female officers from all different, I mean, we had an Asian, we had somebody that was African-American, we had Latinas in there. We had somebody from the LGBTQ community. I mean, so we were very diverse over there. So that, I would say that would be the challenge here. You know, I think it would be depending on the department that you're at. I haven't been involved with the other departments, so I'm not sure, you know, mm-hmm. how theirs function. But I know ours, we're working towards being more inclusive here. I know my team has been very accepting, very helpful in me getting acclimated to my new environment here in Illinois.
Well, this is probably going to be the last question we have time for, just about a minute and a half remaining. But I guess what big picture, in your view, what makes someone good police? What are the key things you're looking for?
Good communication skills. Sensitive to other people, as far as if they're in a critical situation, talking to them in a calm manner, being understanding. I would say caring, you know, getting involved with your community. I mean, those are all, I mean, we're all human and everybody wants to be treated with respect. And, you know, usually when you're in law enforcement, you're dealing with people that are going through a critical situation, be it a major accident or they're in the middle of a mental health crisis, but just communication is the key and staying calm in those situations and being understanding of other people, I would say are key.
Marisol Gamboa is the chief of police at Eastern Illinois University. Chief Gamboa, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st show.
Thank you.
Coming up tomorrow on our program, extreme heat was one of the biggest weather stories this summer here in Illinois, in the Midwest, and really throughout the world, or at least the Northern Hemisphere. We'll talk about what made the season the way it was and whether someday we may look back on this and think, boy, summer 2023 was sure cool compared to what we're living through now. We're going to be talking about the future, the past, the present, and the future of heat in the Midwest, and also the push to make the homes we build more sustainable and climate resilient. That's coming up tomorrow on the 21st show. If you have questions you want to suggest to us ahead of time, please call our voicemail line. 217-300-2121 is the number. 217-300-2121. You'll also be able to call in live during the program. You can send us an email. Let us know what you think about what we've been talking about. The address for that is talk@21stshow.org. talk@21stshow.org. You can find all the ways to contact us at our website, 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can also find links to our podcast, or just search for us on Apple or Spotify, The 21st Show. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.